Hello, and welcome to Fantastic Comic Fan. I am your host, R.T. Fleming, and it is my mission to help you find your next digital comic book pick from the golden age to now. I have been reading comic books for over 40 years, and have never lost my passion for comic books, something I try to pass on to old and new readers.
It's Wednesday, March 29th, 2023, and today is kind of an embarrassing episode for me. I taped this episode with a fellow podcaster's podcast I enjoy, and it was Eric from Long Box Review. Now, he'd been on the show before when we covered who was Donna Troy from that first run of the new Teen Titans. Poor Donna. She's always had a complicated and convoluted backstory. And that particular episode makes for a fantastic show. I loved having Eric on, and you'll find a link in the show notes. Now, for many reasons, this particular episode didn't get out on a timely fashion. We taped it months ago. And truthfully, it doesn't matter to my reasoning. He spent time researching and brought a lot to the taping. So I owed it to him to get it out promptly, and it didn't happen. And I apologize to Eric, because he's a great podcaster and he deserves better than what I did on this particular show. In January, my life went sideways, as some of you know, even more shows got delayed and shuffled around. Things are better. I'm still a little behind trying to play catch-up. But listen, the podcast isn't going anywhere. I still have some fantastic shows planned, so please, stick around, won't you? I think you'll like what you see coming up. With that, today's show I hope you really enjoy. We are re-exploring DC's Rebirth one-shot from several years ago. I loved it then, I love it now. It's a fantastic read, and after this show, I think you might want to rummage through your collection and read again. You'll find Eric's podcast in the show notes. You'll also find a link tree on the Fantastic Comic Fan podcast. So please follow the podcast on social media and subscribe. I want the podcast to continue to grow. And as I've said, introduce fans to a different way of covering and discovering comic books. Now on to today's show.
I am welcoming back again Eric from Long Box Review Comic Book Podcast. And this time around, we are going to talk about the DC Rebirth one-shot, which came out 6 years ago, a little over 6 years ago, and some of the aftermath from the Rebirth initiative. So, Eric, why don't you start it off?
I forgot to ask you this before we start recording, RT, but did you watch the live stream announcing DC Rebirth at the, what was it, WonderCon in 2016?
No, I did not. You're going to have to send me the link afterwards. I really would like to.
It is available on YouTube. I will do that, of course. So yeah, so that's where, you know, of course we, DC had before that had announced, you know, their, you know, how they do their marketing thing. They just put up a little image.
Right.
I think it was just like blue curtains. I don't even know if they had Rebirth on there or not.
I think it was just the blue curtains.
And so they, anyway, then they announced that they were going to do this live stream. And so this was in February. It was, I looked it up because I forgot. It was on a Thursday. For WonderCon, I took the day off, RT, so I could sit and watch this thing live, because I was so excited about what this Rebirth thing was. I guess I should preface this a little bit by saying, while the New 52 initiative wasn't quite to my liking overall, I didn't actually mind it so much as perhaps some other fans did. There were some things that, like I said, I didn't like about it. I didn't like how they just ignored all that, some of that old legacy, and some of those other characters just kind of disappeared. And so Rebirth to me seemed like something that, and of course, once they started getting into the live stream, that's exactly what they were focusing on. And they were reacting to the reactions of the fans of we fans about the things that we missed, that we loved, and that we probably were a little critical of.
So I bet it was jaw-dropping for you to be part of this and going, wow, they're actually listening to this. And this is a fanboy's dream really coming true, because this came out of left field for a lot of fans. Am I correct?
It was. I remember after it was over, and of course I was on Twitter talking to people that I'm friends with and whatnot, and interacting with people, talking about DC Rebirth, the announcement. And I remember tweeting, or maybe I was texting some friends. I don't remember now, but anyway, I was so excited. I actually was so energized by this announcement and what it could mean for these characters that I love so much.
You know, the New 52 stems actually from Crisis of Infinite Earths in a way, because it was both of those were an attempt to simplify the DC Comics mythos because they got it in their head that it was too complicated. Now I'm a Bronze Age baby, and I started reading comic books back in 1977 when I was 10. I had no problem talking about and understanding Earth 1, Earth 2, right. S, yep. X, Prime, all that stuff. And what fans don't realize is that one of DC's best-selling titles during the 80s was The Legion of Superheroes, which had a huge history that connected back to the Silver Age that wasn't retconned at the time, a huge mass of characters that you had to have almost a scorecard to keep track of the history and the characters and the relationships. And fans didn't have any problem doing that at the time. So New 52 comes around, like we said, and they retconned, well, not even retconned, they just erased and cherry-picked certain parts of the DC mythos. For example, Batman didn't get touched at all, whereas the Superman mythos totally got gutted from top to bottom. And Rebirth comes up, and it is, like you said, a fanboy's dream come true, because change is fine, but you need to respect the mythology of your stuff. But to me, the Fantastic Four is the only Marvel property that really does a great job of honoring its past. Mm. They've been around for like 60 years, and the Fantastic Four has not been erased, retconned, and you can see through lines all the way straight to the present run when Ben and Alicia got married. That made sense. Of course, it was decades past that. Them adopting two kids, that actually made sense and added to the mythos. And DC, with the New 52, you just gutted huge chunks of the DC mythology. People grew up with certain characters. Now you're trying to tell us that it didn't happen. It's kind of like Crisis on Infinite Earths. When that happened, it's like, okay, Earth 2 that I've been reading for 10 years never happened. Mm-hmm. And all these fans at the time who've been reading Earth 2 since the Silver Age, or even possibly even the Golden Age, all them stories and all this continuity and Batman and Superman, even Wonder Woman, which had been around since the Golden Age and 325 issues, none of that matters anymore. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of a hard pill to swallow back in 85. It was even harder now with the New 52. When Rebirth actually came out, what did you think about it?
To start off with, I actually am not as protective or precious about continuity. What I care about is, do the stories and the characters make sense in the stories that are being told right now? And I think the problem, maybe I'm skipping ahead a little bit by saying what the problem with Rebirth was, or I'm sorry, the New 52 was that while they did say, okay, we're going to start over, which, by the way, I don't know if your listeners know this, that was the original intention behind Crisis on Infinite Earths. Marv Wolfman wanted to restart the entire DC line at all new number ones.
And erase the entire old continuity.
Exactly. But of course, DC editorial and the executives are like, well, we can't do that.
Which is actually kind of funny now, because that's actually what especially Marvel does, is they actually don't keep their legacy number, and they actually, you know, they make a habit of oh, it's a number one, it's a number one, it's a number one. When back then it's like, oh, we can't, you know, do that.
Yeah. It's funny how those kind of things change over years. But so yeah, I'm less precious about it, like I said. And so I just want stories that make sense. I want interesting stories. I want characters that make sense in the context of what they're doing, right? And that's where I think those are my criticisms of New 52. And so then, of course, they announce Rebirth, and they're talking about bringing back legacy characters and essentially restoring some of that continuity that they jettisoned in New 52. And of course, you know, I was okay with that because I was familiar with those things. And I love those things. I love those stories and those characters that they basically decided to ignore for 5 years thereabouts.
It was
5 years.
Yes.
Yeah. And so yeah, that's going into DC Rebirth. That got me very excited and energized for the line again, but in a slightly different way than I was for New 52. Because when New 52 came out, I basically bought at least the first issue. Probably two or three issues at minimum for most of these. And then some of them I got for several issues, of course, and some for years. So, you know, I forget how many titles they announced for New 52, but it was a lot. It was 52. wasn't it?
From New 52.
Originally, it was originally titles.
52 titles.
Yeah. And so I got all those that first month, and then, you know, it tapered off as time went on. When you asked me about DC Rebirth, I started taking my notes, and immediately some titles came to mind, and I took some notes on that. And then as I'm looking through my comic book database app, I realized, oh, wait, I actually had a lot more Rebirth stuff than I thought. And so I'm just saying this because there was a very similar reaction to DC Rebirth in terms of the books that I bought and what I was wanting to discover about this new initiative from DC, especially coming out of that live stream where I was really, very, very excited about what could be, you know, what was the possibilities here. And so it wasn't quite as many as in terms of titles as New 52, because I was a little more discerning this time.
The Rebirth titles, a lot of them were actually also double shipped for a long time.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You know, so that kind of cut back on the amount of titles that they had because, you know, they were double shipped, and they did that for quite a few years. A lot of the titles that came out twice a month, which is, you know, kind of unique for DC at the time.
Yeah. And I remember that specifically in that live stream, because they did say, okay, we're going to ship these twice a month. And of course, Marvel had been shipping twice a month for a while at that point, but they also announced that, you know, we're doing this, but we're going to keep our prices at $2.99. When
that was
most
the other,
other
thing, they actually lowered the price point for the comic books, which is another big thing.
Which, that was, of course, it didn't last, but you know.
No, but it was a nice while it did last. And one of the things that I remember seeing a lot of the promo art, and one of the things that really excited me, but ultimately let me down, was the hourglass of on the one side, it had looked like the satellite JLA, which to me was my core JLA. I remember that so well. Lasted from the whole Bronze Age, basically. You know, you had that crux of Justice League. On the other side, you had the Justice Society. And the New 52 basically erased and eradicated the Justice Society. So I'm like, oh, we are going to get the Justice Society back. But 6 years later, we really don't quite have the Justice Society back, you know, quite back yet. And have you read Dark Crisis? Have you been reading that?
I have been reading it. I've not read issue 3, which I assume is what you're going to talk about here.
I'm just saying, you know, they make a return, and it's like, where were you? You should have been. I mean, this is the Justice Society. It should be more important than Justice League, because they go back to the World War II and they make a big thing. And it's like, they should have been part of the mythos since Rebirth. And I understand editorial dictates and things have happened, but the JSA in the 90s was a core title. I mean, they did a lot of stuff with the Justice Society, and I was hoping that they would do more. But one of the cool things that came out of Rebirth is it just didn't stop with Rebirth, or even the Rebirth Initiative, which was like for 2 years, all the titles were rebranded Rebirth. But the Seeds of Rebirth went from there to Doomsday Clock, to Infinite Frontier, even to Dark Crisis. You can find the little breadcrumbs all the way straight through. So you can't, it's hard for me to sit there and say, I'm disappointed in this or I'm disappointed in that, because some of the storylines, albeit it's 6 years later, are still playing out along the way.
Well, that was one of the things. So in preparation for our discussion, I went back and reread the DC Universe Rebirth special that came out in May of 2016. In fact, again, talking about the excitement for this initiative, pre-ordered the issue, but then I also bought at midnight on its day and date release the digital copy, so that I could, and I read it that early morning, so that I could experience what this new thing was going to be, or what it was suggesting that it could be, right? So that was a very exciting moment as well.
I just reread Rebirth again, like between yesterday and today, in preparation for this. And I know I've read it several times in the past. And even though there's Seeds of Planet, it really does hold up as a done-in-one comic book. I mean, you can get a lot of cool stuff. And if you're a fanboy like I am, there's so much Easter eggs thrown in it. And I mentioned in my notes that my favorite scene in the Rebirth, because the whole thing is about Wally West, you know, he's returning. And for a lot of fans, Wally West was the Flash. They don't know who Barry Allen was. When I grew up, it was Barry Allen. I remember Barry Allen. Iris getting killed was when I first got into the Flash. Crisis happened. Barry Allen died for 20 years. And Wally West became the first sidekick to take over the legacy mantle of the character. That was a big deal. And for the longest time, Wally West was for, you know, the Flash. And all of a sudden, New 52 comes in, and here comes Barry Allen again. And a lot of people were upset because where's Wally West? Well, Wally West comes in here and nobody remembers who Wally West is. And he's going through all these different little, you know, places in the comic book. And at the end, he finally gets to Barry Allen. And it's basically, he's like, you don't remember me. You're not going to remember me. Thank you for the life you gave me. I appreciate everything. And then as he starts to disappear, that's when Barry goes, oh my gosh, this is what I know. This is Wally. I know Wally. And to me, it still gives me extra chills I'm talking about, you know, because in the thing, they hug and they embrace, and Barry is like, how could I ever forget you, Wally?
Mm-hmm. That
that is one of the most powerful scenes. I just got chills again, talking about that.
That was drawn by Phil Jimenez, correct?
Yes. And Jeff Johns, who doesn't do comic books much anymore, but when he does them, he hits them out of the ballpark. I mean, that was a Jeff Johns. And it was a great comic book. And for just a geek boy that really grew up, it was had so much in there. Some of it paid off. Some of it still hasn't paid off.
Like the JSA, although we just got that back. Yeah. So yeah, that was some of the things that I noted in here. You know, if you don't mind, touch on the Flash connection, because that was one of the things I loved in the Rebirth special, was the fact that they focused on Wally West, Kid Flash, the former Kid Flash, the former Flash for everybody for 20 years. But that was the whole idea of the legacy characters and just the legacy of the DC universe. Not to mention, you know, and this, of course, this, you mentioned Jeff Johns as writer, you know, this is his speciality, because he did Green Lantern Rebirth, and he also did Flash Rebirth. And so that through line of what Rebirth meant to the DC universe via Jeff Johns' ideas, but bringing Kid Flash as the central figure to the Rebirth initiative, given that Flash, the Flash of two worlds, introducing the idea of the multiverse to DC Comics back in what, the late 50s, early 60s?
Somewhere around, I can't remember the exact date. Yeah. Yes.
And so I love that connection with the Flashes. And like you said, that scene with the two near the end of that is just beautiful and emotional. And like I said, gorgeously drawn by Phil Jimenez. But there were certain things. They teased the JSA, which it's now taken 6 years with a few minor appearances here and there. Because when DC was starting their whole 5G thing, they put out a special. I forget which one it was now. But the JSA, I think, made an appearance there. But, you know, they weren't back. They weren't back like they should have been back, right? And so now I think we're going to get that finally 6 years later. They teased the Legion with Saturn Girl making an appearance. But then those plans got totally changed because Brian Michael Bendis came and wanted to do the Legion, but he wanted to do his Legion. And so, and then, of course, it all culminated, you know, obviously with the various titles through what? You said 2 years they were doing the Rebirth.
They were about banner. 2 years they were doing the Rebirth banner before they stopped that.
But I mean, we're still reading stories that are basically, well, I don't know. It's hard to say because we've had Death Metal and
a lot of the DC editorial stuff has shifted since Rebirth, which had Doomsday Clock rewritten, I believe. But some of the stuff you can connect the dots. Like if you follow Wally West's story or even Barry Allen's story in The Flash, where certain things like Heroes in Crisis, oh my gosh, this is crazy. But if you follow Wally West through Rebirth into the Flash comic book, which did a great job of bringing back a lot of legacy stuff during the Rebirth run, the Heroes in Crisis to the Flash miniseries that he had to the current, it's like a whole, I mean, they've really done a really great job of reinvesting in Wally West. And even though the JSA hasn't been in there, they've had some nice JSA moments, like Alan Scott with his daughter. Oh, there's Jade and Obsidian. Right. Mm-hmm. And they actually retconned his being a gay man and made it work within the story and made it work within the framework without forgetting the core of the character. They made it work. They made it make sense after all. Because in the 80s and the 90s, Alan Scott was married. He married somebody. And, you know, they actually, instead of just forgetting about it, they actually, which I thought was a good story, is taking something like that and like, well, let's just explain it. And they did a great job. I noticed another thing about Rebirth, which was a seed that was planted and never talked about. And I told you at my show notes, there was a scene with Ray Palmer talking to Ryan Choi. And I don't really think the whole Adam subplot really got played out. But in one of the scenes, he says, tell Jean Loring, I still love her. And in this part of the story, him and Jean are divorced. Well, if you go back to one of the most controversial storylines ever was Identity Crisis.
Right.
And was Jean Loring killed off Sue Dibney. And there's a whole thing about Sue Dibney and the bad guys, which I really don't want to get into because I find it kind of distasteful anyways. But I'm like, oh, they retconned that story, it looks like, because, you know, Jean Loring didn't become this really evil, crazy person. So she's probably still out there, which means probably Elongated Man is alive.
Right.
Which means Sue is alive. And as I was talking about, that Sue and Ralph, Elongated Man and his wife, Sue Dibney, they are the premier DC power couple going back to the early days of the Silver Age. They were the first married couple. And their adventures went all the way straight into the post-crisis Justice League. They were both members of that. So, I mean, they had a great... So they really haven't done much about the Elongated Man. He appeared in Checkmate and some of the Leviathan storyline. But that's another one of them characters that they really haven't done a whole lot. And I'm wondering if not just editorial mandates, but they just don't have the right creative teams lined up, because you can only have so many hot writers writing so many hot properties. I don't think that there's enough writers to go around to pick up some of these extra, like a JSA revival. And we were talking about a minute ago, Bendis's Legion. And I think they had a whole different thing about Legion until Bendis decided they wanted to do his thing. And if you picked up Rebirth, there's Saturn Girl talking about coming from the future. And all you see is a Legion of Superheroes flight ring. And for any long, long time Legion thing, that just throws, you know, because a Legion of Superheroes has a huge space right now. Even now, I know that every so often I'll post on my Instagram and Twitter accounts, I'll post something, Adventure Comics with Legion of Superheroes or something from the Legion of Superheroes. And that thing just gets all kinds of attention. I can always, you know, and you guys are covering the Baxter version of the Legion. And that's a core Legion. I know they redone it, but I think part of Bendis's thing was that he skewed too far away from what made the Legion magical and great. I mean, that whole thing, if people haven't read it, the Great Darkness Saga with Darkseid, you know, back during the Paul Levitz era, and where in one of the annuals, they made Valdius the son of, to me, that was like, oh, that is such great storytelling, where they took one of the characters from the Fatal Five, they brought in Darkseid and said it was a twin, which makes sense now if you think about it. It's like, wow, they've been planning this for 50 years, but it was the son of Saturn Girl, and Lightning Lad became one of their enemies, Valdius, which, you know, but again, Legion has a great history that nobody in the past had a problem with, you know, accepting and embracing and understanding. And that was kind of, they dropped that ball again and, you know, in Doomsday Clock. But what else about did you, you know, in Aftermath and some of the titles, and what did you like?
Well, let's see here. So like I said, I didn't get as many Rebirth titles as I did New 52, but it was about half, a little under half that I tried. And so there were, what was it? I don't even have a number here. I have many, many, many things here where I've got a few of them. I only got the Rebirth, the special that preceded whatever ongoing series that they had. Others I picked up, like, for example, there's a few of these like Aquaman, where I picked up the first six issues of the new title, Green Arrow, Green Lanterns, things like that. But they didn't really catch my interest or sustain my interest, right? The things that I did but really gravitated towards were the Superman books. That Superman run with Peter Tomasi writing and Patrick Gleason, Jorge Jimenez, Doug Monkey, Ivan Reis doing the art, during that
was
whole,
some of the best Superman.
So good. Yes.
You know, for a pause for a second, because people dished upon Convergence. Remember that 2 year or that 2 month thing that they came up with because DC Comics was moving from the East Coast to the West Coast. So they came up with this 2 month event to make a bridge and make things smooth for whatever. But out of Convergence came the return of the Clark and Lois that right. we all know from post-crisis.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Post-crisis.
The Diamond Era. And they brought them back. And so when Rebirth happened, going into it, they were actually brought back the Lois and Clark that we knew. Mm-hmm. And this is where, I think this is where the Road to Rebirth, because the Road to Rebirth was the Adventures of Superman and Lois comic and a Teen Titans thing. But the Road to Now thing is used in a lot of places. The Road to This, they wrote, and that came out of Rebirth. But I thought it was very creative how they took the New 52 stuff and merged it together with the Clark and Lois that we have and kind of made it sort of make sense. And, oh, yeah. This is kind of, and you're right, the first 2 years of the Rebirth, the whole Rebirth initiative of Superman action is some of the best Superman stories going back to the Diamond Era.
Yeah.
And it's been proven since then, because if you follow Lois and Clark, their through line through now, Lois Lane is a much more powerful, better character. Clark Kent is a much better character. You know, you see Lois Lane going, I am not calling that man. Or she's like, if you look at the Lois Lane maxi series or Leviathan or Checkmate, she goes, he's always watching me, but he dare not, you know, interfere in my life because he knows it. And that's true. She's like, I'm a big girl. I can handle myself. He's watching me. Don't come near me, Clark. You know, and he respects what she's doing. He doesn't interfere. And they bring on John Kent, who was a cool character. And the worst mistake they ever made was to age him up.
Yeah.
And this is where that character was failed, because they aged him up and they didn't dot the I's and cross the T's. Because I keep telling people, Superboy should be the Dick Grayson of his generation. Everybody should know John Kent. Mm-hmm. And I remember in an early issue of his Superboy title, Superman title, he's meeting some superhero for the first time. I don't know if it's Wally West or somebody going, no, that don't make sense. Because if you look at some of the sequences where Lois is in labor, everybody is there. The Justice League is watching the world. So Clark and Lois are at the Fortress of Solitude so she can have the baby because it's any complication. Mom, Pa, Kent are there. So John Kent growing up was the Dick Grayson. He knew everybody, was attached to everybody. And when they launched his title, they kind of like force fed certain things about the character. And they didn't, you know, Mom, Pa, Kent was another thing that came out of Rebirth. It wasn't initially out of Rebirth, but it came from Doomsday Clock, where they retcon, you know, Mom, Pa, Kent in there. And I said in my notes, they're a major part of the DC mythos. You know, they're connected to Clark and Lois and Connor Kent. You remember Young Justice coming out of all this, where we get Young Justice finally and Connor Kent, who grew up with the Mom, Pa, Kent and Superboy, and they met him again. Oh, we remember who you are. And Clark was like, how do you know this? And
right.
But if they would have leveraged John Kent with Mom, Pa, Kent more, you could have got better characterization. But you're right. The first 2 years of Superman, fantastic. It's a great, great run. And Bendis did some great stuff, but at the same time, you took some step backwards in the Batman or the Superman mythology. You know, the whole idea of him, you know, telling everybody who his identity was, that kind of fell flat. And to me, not just Superman, but the whole Superman mythos kind of like doesn't have anything exciting going on right now. You know, and you push Kal-El off to the sidelines and it's like, well, that's the person that people want to read in Action Comics. They want him in Metropolis. They want him, you know, fighting these people, even though he's fought Lex Luthor for 80 years. They want these types of things. And that's where somebody made a good point of, be great if they went back to the Diamond Era, where they started doing diamonds with all the Superman families and made them all interconnected and great. Superman was great, but one time they can be a great comic book again. How did you like the new Titans when it came out?
I was gonna bring that up because you had mentioned it earlier. That's actually one of the, I only got 20 issues of that series. And that was few issues more than I should have, because I was, this is one of the ones where I was really excited because we're getting my classic, so to speak,
core
my classic
Teen Titans,
yes. Right? New Teen Titans characters together. And also with the, I don't know if they explicitly stated this or if it was just implied by the solicitations, but they were going to explore that whole idea of what Rebirth meant coming out of the Rebirth special with Wally West in that title. And while they did kind of touch on it a little bit, as I recall, because this has been a few years now, right? I felt like they veered away from that really quickly and just tried to tell these stories involving the Titans characters. Then it just wasn't as interesting to me. What did you think about it?
I thought it started off very promising, but the Titans have a certain dynamic that if you stray too far from, the comic book just doesn't gel. Because you're right, the Teen Titans of Donna Troy, Speedy, Cyborg, Gar, all that stuff, they're good characters. I mean, you had a good 10-year run of that basic characters, and I believe the right creative team can make the Titans a good comic book again. Mm-hmm. I just don't think, because, I mean, I go back to even Fantastic Four or Batman. How many Fantastic Four stories can you tell? How many Justice League stories can you tell? How many, but it's the right creative team can make great teen, well, not Teen Titans, but Titans comics, because the Titans were great. There was a run somewhere in 2009 where they brought back the Titans again. I forget how long that was. It was almost a 3-year run. And the beginning of that was actually very cool because that's where they first brought the Titans back again mm-hmm. as the core team. And when Titans Academy came out, it was kind of a melding between the Teen Titans and the old Titans. Like, but there's a lot of characters that we don't really care about. And you got a rich history already established with the Titans themselves. And that was the problem with Dark Crisis. It's like, you got Deathstroke, who to me is still a B-grade villain. He's never going to be an A-grade villain going through. And it's like, and the death of the Justice League, it's like, well, first off, who's going to believe Black Adam? And how many times has these characters died in the past? Mm-hmm. And the Justice League just wasn't this cool. And I did a posting the other day, like the Justice League just wasn't these seven characters. You know, you had Elongated Man, Zatanna, Red Tornado, Martian Manhunter, just this huge list of characters. Any one of that, this team would have actually reformed to avenge the Justice League. So it's like kind of like Dark Crisis, though, in the events, it feels forced to me. Yeah. It's like Deathstroke, you know. And when Titans Academy was getting attacked again and destroyed again, because it just got destroyed, it's like, where are these A-list heroes that would just clean Deathstroke's plot? You know, and he's got this indoctrination where just nobody's going to be heroes. I'm like, whoa, none of these heroes in Dark Crisis are they're all B and C heroes anyways. Where's the A heroes? Why wasn't the Justice Society in the first issue kicking ass, excuse my language, but why were they not in the first, you know? So this whole Dark Crisis again feels forced, you know, and the Titans could be great again with the right creative team. That's mm-hmm. my, you know, same thing with the Justice Society.
I think you could apply that to any of the characters and titles for sure. Yeah. There were some disappointments that I experienced when I was reading these Rebirth relaunches, but you know, there were, you know, a couple more that I was totally from the get-go. I totally love it. One is Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps, which I got 50 issues of, but it was because of the great story that Robert Venditti and Rafa Sandoval were giving us. And you know, I'm not a Hal Jordan hater. I love all of the Green Lantern characters, but just the idea of Green Lantern in the DC universe, I just love that concept. The other one that then this is my favorite of the whole Rebirth, all of the titles. This is my favorite one, the Tom King written Batman. And I know that that is controversial to some people, but I loved it. I have loved every issue that he and the various artists, because he worked with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
He did
different
like,
artists over that run.
He did like what, about 100 issues?
It was, I have 84 issues plus the Batman Catwoman 12 issue thing, which is not really quite connected, but it's sort of connected to that.
Yeah, but see, that Tom King had a vision, and he actually, good or bad, he connected, and Joshua Williamson, I believe his name, over in Flash did the same thing.
Right. right?
You know, they both had these huge runs, and basically this is the story we're going to tell, good or bad. You're right, it's one of the great runs. I also like the Detective Comics run at the very beginning, where, you know, a lot of the stuff happened. The Joshua Williams Flash, while it didn't upset, it didn't, and even the Batman, it didn't necessarily upset the status quo. They told stories that mattered and happened and actually had some impact, some drama to it. Mm-hmm. It's like, one of my problems now with a lot of these event things is that nothing happens and nothing matters. There's no fallout. Whereas if you read, like you said, the Batman run, there is fallout. You know, one of the ultimate things that Alfred dies.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Josh Williamson run, there's things that happen. And at the end of both of those runs, there's things that happen that haven't changed. Alfred's still dead. Mm-hmm. There's things that were explored in The Flash. And that's something that's missing, especially in Marvel, when the death of Doctor Strange, well, who cares? You know, now a mutant can't die, who cares? I well, I mean, true. If, you know, a mutant can't die, or they can just rewrite their whole history. So where's the drama? You know, I keep going back to one of my runs that I remember because I reread it earlier this year. Like you said with the Batman, there's people who hate it, was Tom DeFalco and Paul Ryan's run of Fantastic Four back in the 90s. Tom DeFalco wrote that issue, that comic book, for 60 issues, a whole five run. He only stopped writing it when Onslaught came on. And in that comic book, things happened. He killed off Reed Richards for over 2 years. There was no Reed in the book. There was a bunch of things that had happened. And I remember going, this sucks. But reading him back, going, wow, this is a run where things happened. There were ramifications to the story. I mean, he just didn't, like I said, Reed Richards was not a member for almost 2 years. And that's just missing in comic books now. So it's kind of hard for me, even with Dark Crisis, like the death of the Justice League. It's like, at the end of the day, does it really matter? Well, Rebirth, all that mattered. Even Doomsday Clock, with the wonkiness of that, it mattered. Even Infinite Frontier mattered, because there's still seeds moving forward. I can't say at the end of Dark Crisis, unless, and this is my, I'll be in my grave, and this will be on my tombstone, my big rant, and I bring this up all the time, is that when they originally did Crisis, they should have kept Earth 1 and Earth 2, and it would have made life so much simpler.
Mm-hmm.
If they bring back Earth 2 at the end of Dark Crisis, which I doubt they would ever do, that would just make life so much easier and would just solve so much continuity problem. And while you're right, I like the story, and I'm not so much about the continuity, but there's some characters, Donna Troy, Power Girl, who have the most convoluted, Huntress, who have the most convoluted, crazy non-origin stories, that it's hard to, we talked about that the last time. We were talking about who is Donna Troy, how many times they rebooted poor Donna Troy.
Right.
And now she's just Donna Troy, with almost kind of like Jean Grey is just Jean Grey now. And it's like, if they would just keep Earth 1 and Earth 2, it would have made life better. But no, they're not going to do that. And I understand that. But so what else about Rebirth did you like, or even the aftermath that still continues to this day?
Well, so yeah, speaking of aftermath, or at least continuation, while I did not read a lot of the Flash title, Rebirth Flash title, I do know, and I started reading, I have to get back to it on the DCU app, they brought Wally West forefront in the title. He's the main Flash in that title. At least he was when I was reading it digitally. So we get that wonderful, I don't know if you call it a capstone or just continuation through line from Rebirth of Wally West appearing, announcing this new paradigm in the DC Comics. And now 6 years later-ish, he is the Flash again.
I will admit, when they said they were replacing Barry Allen with Wally West, I had this chip on my shoulder. I'm going, oh, here we go again. And I'm like, and I'm reading this, I'm going, that run actually grows on me. I really like what they've done with Wally. I hope whenever they bring back Barry gets his own title back, because over at Marvel, you can have multiple heroes with multiple, you know, I mean, multiple Captain America, multiple Thors. It works there. Give Barry Allen his title. Give Wally his title.
Yes.
Obviously, Wally can support. This is, you know, and I still believe Wally is the best character to come out of Rebirth, because everything that was Wally is now there. His wife, his kids. I mean, he got everything back. It all connects. It all matters without relying on the past and moving forward. I mean, there's some great stories going on. and Impulse, you know, and Young Justice. They bring all that stuff back. And unfortunately, Young Justice flamed out, but it was nice to see Connor Kent back as Superboy. While it wasn't directly coming from Rebirth or any of Doomsday Clock, it's again that initiative, let's bring back what the fans remembered and like and enjoy. And some of the early, you know, Impulse coming back out of Flash was nice. I like to see him. Or even recently, what was that? Now they're talking about in the Flash, isn't Jesse Quick and Jay Garrick and all of them, they're all on a hunt. They're on the hunt to look for Barry Allen, which to me is like really cool in the Flash where they're all trying to find Barry Allen. It's nice to see the Flash family actually being brought out of mothballs, which is something Joshua Williamson did during his run, where he eventually brought Jay Garrick and a lot of these things, because Max Mercury, Jesse Quick, these are all important parts of the DC mythos. And just because they're not front and center doesn't mean they're important and you can't just ignore them. To JSA, you bring back Jade and Obsidian, even that was just a little teeny tiny section. Like, oh, this is cool. And they did ignore the past. They embraced everything without, remember in the old days when you had 1,000 footnotes in certain comic books where they would refer to, without having to do that. Right. So if you're a new fan, you can enjoy it. If you're an older fan, oh, this is an Easter egg. Look, they brought back Jade and he's still, they're still Alan Scott's kids. And this is how they made this work. And that's what I like to see. But Wally West is probably the best thing that came out of Rebirth. Overall, and Superman and Lois, except Superman and Lois, they dropped the ball on that in the last few years.
Well, I would even say that Wally West is probably the best thing that came out of Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yes.
Right. And so we again have that through line from Crisis to now Dark Crisis, which is the latest thing. But yeah, it's an amazing, it's amazing that that character who was, you know, kind of a throwaway sidekick character from the Silver Age has risen to such prominence in terms of the universe of DC Comics. You know, he may not be the bestseller, but he certainly has resonated with a large segment of fans. He had one of the best costumes as Kid Flash. He had one of the best costumes ever designed. You know, So I love that idea of, and that's why I was kind of excited about Dark Crisis at first, because I love the idea of these legacy, these sidekick characters, these legacy characters like the Titans, Nightwing, Flash, you know, all these other ones that were taking more of a, and they, but they've done this before, you know, in DC's publishing history, but they're putting them more front and center and focusing on them a lot. You already talked about John Kent, you know, but I kind of group him in with that, you know, younger generation legacy type group of characters. And like I said, I was excited because Dark Crisis seemed to be going to focus on them for a little bit. You know, everybody knows that the main core Justice League is coming back. We already know that they're not, you know, technically dead, but it's still interesting. It could be an interesting story.
I'm not writing it off. It's just a few things that I'm like, it seems forced and not organic is what I'm, you know.
I agree. I agree with you. There seem to be,
I want
some things don't make sense, right?
I want Dark Crisis to be an awesome event. And right now it seems too forced and it does not, some of the plot things just don't line up and don't make sense. And I really like even John Kent, I want to like that character. I liked him as a kid. I would like to like John Kent like I like these other characters, but they're forcing storylines and ideas just like Dark Crisis and they just don't, organic.
But you know, we've encountered this kind of thing before. The primary example that jumps to the forefront of my mind is Kyle Rayner. When they relaunched Green Lantern with Kyle Rayner as the only Green Lantern, fans went ballistic.
You're right. They went ape crazy. That was probably the biggest thing that happened back then. That was even a bigger thing, I think, than Barry getting replaced by that was huge.
Well, because with Barry being replaced by Wally, that made sense because it's the sidekick taking on his mentor's persona. And but Kyle Rayner was this nobody kid, nobody knew about him, and suddenly he's the only Green Lantern.
I believe if I read correctly that whole thing with Hal Jordan becoming evil and this and that was kind of done on the fly and wasn't actually plot pointed out, you know, ahead. But, you know, now you have Kyle Rayner, now the only Green Lantern, But you've taken Hal Jordan, who's one of the big Silver Age characters, and turned him into a villain and gutted that character and expect fans to be like, hey,
My point is, though, is you know, we've been on this boat before, and who knows how these things will play out. I that is one thing, even though I've only read the first two issues of Dark Crisis, but to see how the whole idea of the DC universe coming out of Rebirth and all the things that have happened since then to now culminating now in this Dark Crisis event, what comes next? Are we going to get the next DC Rebirth from this? And what does that mean? And what are the things that fans are going to, and at first initially go, I hate this, but then 5 years later go, I love that. Because that's what happens.
That's what I'm hoping will happen. And again, Dark Crisis does go all the way back to Rebirth. There's seeds planted all the way from Rebirth till now. And Rebirth, you know, it's 6 years old, but it has a bigger impact than anything, you know, in recent memory. You know, the New 52 really doesn't get referred. The other thing that I found interesting, though, about Rebirth that they toyed with but really didn't address is the relationship between Dinah and Ollie. You know, that was another thing that ticked fans off, because they were like Clark and Lois, they were a couple from the early Bronze Age, from the very beginning. And if you read the Justice League through the satellite era, they were a couple, especially, gosh, when Englehart was writing it, there's a lot at play between Dinah and Ollie. And there was one point where Ollie actually quits the Justice League and she calls him a pompous, you know, for doing that. And their storyline culminates in 2007 with Ollie and Dinah actually getting married. And then from that till they were a married couple, the New 52 comes along, and that's been unraveled and erased. And then in the Rebirth thing, you see that Ollie and Dinah know each other. They know something's wrong, something's not right. It would have been great to retcon their marriage back into things, because I think it would have worked. They could have made it happen, because it makes, you know, with Clark and Lois. And another couple is, I find it interesting that technically Iris and Barry also remember their history even pre-Crisis. If I'm not mistaken, I think they remember that stuff somewhere along. That's where I got the impression. It would be nice to see again Barry and Iris together like they were, because they were the first couple in the DC mythos from the Silver. They got married. They were the first marriage. They stayed married until, you know, they killed her off, which they did for a big plot thing. And I've always said that was when the Flash started his downfall. When they killed off Iris and killed off the Heart. Speaking of Jean Loring, it was interesting. I'm going off a little tangent here. I found on Hoopla the Jean Loring saga. And I was going through it and I'm like, what's, and they reprinted Super Team Family Issues, which was a very eclectic comic book, because an Adam comic book where Adam teamed up with different characters. I remember reading this first comic book back in the 70s when I was growing up. You remember, these comic books were only 17 pages. And then DC started experimenting with their giant size. And all of a sudden these 17 page comic books went to 30 plus pages. And I was going like, and I checked on the DC app, which we were talking off camera, how DC has certain comic books digitized, but not on their thing. But the whole Super Team Family of Flash trying to find Jean Loring when she goes crazy and stuff is all in this thing. And then it also culminates in their marriage and the Justice League. There's this huge, big run of Super Team Family and Justice League of America with some of the Englehart run, which culminates in Jean and Ray getting married, which is another interesting couple that they, you know, they made them married and they stayed married for a long time. And this fallacy of married couples don't make sense. To me, that makes it a stronger pairing.
Totally agree.
When, you know, the fact that Mera and Aquaman weren't married until recently, they missed a lot of good plot points, because people forget that, you know what? I'm thinking Aquaman and Mera actually got married before Flash and Iris. I can't remember when. I'm going to have to double check. Yeah. But Mera and Flash were married in the 70s. They had a baby called Aqua Baby, and Black Manta actually killed the baby. That was huge. You don't kill kids. I mean, this is a baby, you know, it was like a toddler, and they killed them all. And to totally erase that, to me, is like, you just missed some great emotional, resonating stuff that could still have been mined for years and years and years. You know, same thing with Dinah and Ollie. Now that they're not married, well, look what you did with Clark and Lois when they were married. You know, you had Iris and Barry married for years, Sue and Rebel. Look at the Marvel. Reed and Sue have been married for 60 years, and they still got good stuff going on. You know, when the Fantastic Four is done right, who could spoil the Fantastic Four? Nobody. It's a great, to me, the run they got right now, up until the Reckoning War, was some great stuff. Because the Reckoning War was another one of things that, at the end of the day, did it change anything? Did it make any sense? You blew up the moon. You blew up the moon. Why is nobody reacting to blowing up the moon? Okay? I'm sorry.
I didn't even know about that. So
yeah, they blew up the moon, the Reckoning War. It's like, okay, well, you had Devil's Reign with the Kingpin, you had the death of Doctor Strange, the death of Scarlet Witch, and all these little, you know, sub-Marvel things going on where nothing connects and nothing matters. And it's like they're all, at the end of the day, well, it's like, who cares? Mm. But I like these older, you know, where you don't have to refer to it, but the continuity is there. Clark and Lois is exhibit A of DC of what you can do. Mm-hmm. You know, even the Titans, when you do the Titans right, Donna, Gar, Cyborg, Raven, that whole core, they're a great character. Even the Legion of Superheroes was done right for years and years and years. And I hopefully, as I've said before, I hope that the new owners of DC properties are better caretaker than AT&T was, because I don't think AT&T was good caretakers of the DC universe. And I think because Disney bought DC in April, a lot of the stuff that's going on with DC is probably not going to filter out through probably end of the year, I'm thinking, after Dark Crisis. This is all kind of baked in, you know, before this DC and Discovery kind of like merged together. But I am the biggest cheerleader of comic books and characters. I want all of these characters to survive. I want John Kent to be a beloved character. I want to enjoy the character. I want it to be a comic book that I look and enjoy. Same thing with the Titans, or bringing back the, you know, just seeing the Justice Society in some little cameo like they did in Doomsday Clock. To me, that's exciting. Mm-hmm. I want to be excited about comic books. I don't care if it's an independent, a DC or Marvel. I don't care if they've got 80 years of history. Make me excited for Superman. Make me excited for Clark and Lois. Make me excited for any of these characters in Justice League. Like, I'll even root for Black Adam, you know, if you make, you know, it interesting. But a Justice League with Black Adam and the whole, it just doesn't seem like it's in character. So
you just got to tell good stories with these characters, right? And I realize that's a huge concept, because what's a good story to me isn't necessarily a good story to you, you know, et cetera. But to me,
good story is one that stands up over time.
Yeah. But that's the problem, right?
I know.
Because we were talking about things that are being published right now in terms of Dark Crisis and whatnot, but what's going to happen next. Right. So yeah, we have to allow a little bit of breathing room, so to speak, and then maybe come back and talk about what, you know, the aftermath of this. Yeah. Right. So
do you have anything else before we wrap this up? We went on all kinds of different tangents.
I know, right?
But we did a good job of, you know, connecting Rebirth to Doomsday to Infinite Frontier and even the Dark Crisis, that people don't realize how important Rebirth was, not just as an initiative, but as a comic book mm-hmm. that still, in my way, sets a Bible to the modern DC mythos. It acts like a modern day Bible, that everything can now pretty much be stemmed from Rebirth, and the revamping of characters like all stems right out of Rebirth, and didn't ignore it. They actually built upon it, where in the past, New 52 ignored all the old thing. Mm-hmm. You know, even now, for the most part, we ignore New 52, which I don't think is necessarily a great idea, because there is great stuff in New 52. Grant Morrison wrote Superman, I believe.
Action Comics.
That was
really good.
Mm-hmm. There was some great stuff that came to New 52, and just because it wasn't everybody's cup of tea doesn't mean you need to ignore the continuity and some of the stuff that happened there. Mm-hmm. But Eric, do you have any parting words before we wrap this up?
Well, just to touch on what you just said, you know, even coming out of, Flashpoint, and then we got New 52, and then we had, what preceded the Rebirth? They just announced it, right? Yeah. So, you know, but the similarities is that they had a thing happen in terms of New 52 as Flashpoint, and then they had new runs, new creators on these characters starting at number one, and telling some, in some cases, some really interesting stories. In other cases, maybe not so much, right? Rebirth was the same thing, only we started with a special. And it was, I think, a little, I don't know, maybe that's why we're talking about this right now, is because it was, it seemed less of a event-driven
It seemed more organic.
Post-event, post-event-driven thing. And now we're seeing another event thing, Dark Crisis, right? So maybe that's what we're kind of reacting to subconsciously, is that this feels more like maybe something like Flashpoint, as opposed to what we're talking about here, what we enjoyed, you know, which was Rebirth. So what are we going to get out of you know, following Dark Crisis? Is going to be another Rebirth type thing, or another New 52 type thing?
And it's going to be very exciting for something, you know,
or the former.
It actually really is exciting times in the DC stuff, because they actually really are doing stuff. And we were just talking about Flashpoint, which a lot of people, you know, didn't like, but even now they continue to revisit that whole storyline. You got the Thomas Wayne that storyline, who's been in Snyder or Tom's run in Batman, and still continues to be a presence to this day, and has actually got his own series where the Flashpoint universe is alive and well again. So it does have some good stuff going on in DC. And I sound like I did sound a lot too negative this time around, and I apologize to my listener, because I really try not to sound like the old man, get off my grass, and just be a crusty old, you know, I remember the good old days type person, because I want comic books to thrive and survive and do well from everybody. I mean,
that just speaks to your passion for the medium and the characters and the publishing offerings, right? Because it has, you know, 80 some years of superhero comic books, plus everything else that came after, that we just love so much. And so we care about it. And sometimes, yes, we'll get on a soapbox and we'll talk about the things we don't like and how dare they do X, Y, or Z. But really it comes from, I think, you know, in more positive terms, it comes from a source of love for the content.
Exactly.
And the characters,
right? You know, I started the podcast not to be a podcast and sit on a pedestal, because, you know, there's no glory in that as a fellow podcaster, but I want to introduce people to comic books, because there's new readers coming in that gives you that fanboy, that geek, that core comic book person that excites you. Rebirth excited me like reading my first comic books back in the 70s, or reading Crisis, or even the Diamond era of Superman, or some of the stuff in Spider-Man or Avengers, Fantastic Four. That's what I try to plant the seeds, like, go check this out. Go check, who cares if it's a 70 run comic book from the 1970s or the 1980s or a Silver Age gem? Go read these comic books. Mm-hmm. They're fun. They're enjoyable. It doesn't matter if you're a comic book now. Heck, I haven't read Rebirth in probably a year's time. Like, oh, this is great. And, you know, I'm still getting chills. You know, I still got chills for a comic book. a comic book to have that kind of impact, where you're actually getting chilled. That's what I want fans to feel myself.
Yes. Yeah.
Eric, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. This is a great segment. I don't know what we'll talk about next time around. Eric from Long Box Review, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you very much.
Well, that's it for today's podcast. Again, I would love to hear from you, a fantastic comic fan, at gmail.com. Remember, new episodes every Wednesday. Thanks so much for listening to this episode, and I hope to see you next time.